a work that we've been doing recently, really trying to align our efforts in a world in education where often just the zero-sum time factor in a profession that's really hard, and all the things that we want to be doing with our students can often find ourselves at odds in the work that we're doing supporting students' academic selves and the work that we're doing supporting kind of their social-emotional learning selves, knowing that our students every day do not delineate between the two. They bring all themselves with us to school, and trying to find a way in our work as a district in all the things we do, from how we support scheduling at the schools to how we support coaching at the schools to how we support professional learning at the schools.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Adam Zingsheim. Adam is the Director of Pupil Services at Verona Area Schools in Verona, Wisconsin. Adam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So tell everybody a little bit about Verona and what's going on there and your role.
Yeah, so our school district is a school district of about a little over 5,000 students. We are located in the suburban Madison area, the capital of Wisconsin. For anyone that is familiar with Epic Systems, we are the hub of Epic Systems for America here, for those in the medical community familiar with that. And I am the Director of Pupil Services. And so in our district, we are of a size where my position would traditionally be a Director of Student Services position. But with the Director of Special Education and myself, have the privilege of focusing on kind of the heart work to support all of the head work happening in our classrooms. And so I get to oversee our counselors and our social workers and our psychologists and our nurses and restorative practice coaches to focus on our learning climate work in our district. And we are a district of four neighborhood elementary schools, three free of charge public charter schools, one being one of the only Mandarin Chinese programs in the country, two middle schools, one charter middle school, and then our high school. And so I'm very excited to be with you to talk about some of the work we've done in our learning climate here.
How long have you been there?
So this is my fifth year. This is my second year in my current role. Had been before this our director of elementary education and early learning, and before that a principal and a positive behavior supports coach in a nearby district, and all the way back to my time as a fifth grade teacher.
Wow. Congratulations. That's really cool. It's just so fun to see people who have worked hard and gotten to a place where you're making a difference, right? And that is super exciting. So what kinds of, I know you guys are making some changes there. So what kinds of things are you doing to support your team and your students?
Absolutely. The amazing staff we have in our district, particularly our pupil services team that I get to support, the work that we've been doing recently, really trying to align our efforts in a world in education where often just the zero-sum time factor in a profession that's really hard, and all the things that we want to be doing with our students can often find ourselves at odds in the work that we're doing supporting students' academic selves and the work that we're doing supporting kind of their social-emotional learning selves, knowing that our students every day do not delineate between the two. They bring all themselves with us to school. And trying to find a way in our work as a district in all the things we do, from how we support scheduling at the schools to how we support coaching at the schools to how we support professional learning at the schools, to make sure that we are not in any sort of way reinforcing that dichotomy of any time spent on learning climate, social emotional learning work means less time spent on academics, and any time spent on academics means less time in our social emotional learning work, knowing how important those things are to support each other and supporting our students in the classroom to be able to, again, bring all of themselves with them to be the learners that they can be, to be able to participate, to be able to share, to be able to be challenged, to be able to challenge in our work. And that's really been the focus of our efforts over the last number of years, to try to make that easier for our teachers to do, easier for our pupil services staff to support, easier for our families to understand, and much more aligned.
Wow. Wow, that's great. How much have you seen, and I'm asking this because a lot of people have talked about the fallout, basically, from COVID, and just the environment and the readiness of kids for learning, and how much more anxiety, and what have you seen? I just wanted your take on all of that.
Yeah, in our conversation, learning your background as a speech language pathologist, I think it really very much hits home to your expertise. One of the things I think we've seen the most are, you know, students' expressive skills. And, you know, for so many students and that, you know, that group of students, we're now, you know, quite a few years removed from that. And those students moving through the system has shifted our understanding of the importance of just communication. I think some of our students who, you know, at, you know, in that early toddler age, you know, age two, age three, age four, when they weren't necessarily able to be with people all the time and development in expressive language, the development in problem solving skills, the development of, you know, self-regulation, especially as pertains to being in groups of people, there's no way to mimic that outside of being with people and interact. And so I think if anything, it really put a spotlight on the importance of that aspect of development. And I think if there's one thing we've learned of making sure we're attending to that and providing opportunities for students to be together and supporting them through developing problem solving skills, supporting them through challenge, supporting them through all of the interpersonal interaction piece that, you know, as adults, we've had a lot of practice with and learning with and learned from our mistakes and learned from things that work. And to developing that same mindset with students and not shying away from putting them in positions that they're going to be challenged and might disagree, but actually embracing that and supporting them through that has been something we've really worked to do all the way down to our Verona Area First 5 Years program, where that's a big aspect of our early learning and 4K development. And the importance of play groups in our district, of putting families and students in position to be together, has been something we've been very excited to get back to. Kind of post-pandemic and continue to emphasize and prepping students for their K-12 lives.
Right. One of the things as an SLP that absolutely drove me up a wall, and I do not blame any school district and I do not blame anybody for it, but was masks. I was like, what are you doing? You're covering up all of the cues that these little guys need to be able to communicate. And you know, babies learn by looking at your mouth and watching. And then, you know, the cues that they're just lost. I mean, you cover them up and you can't see them. And it drove me crazy. Absolutely drove me crazy.
Yeah, and Janet, the other thing I would add in work that we're specifically doing here, I think beyond, you know, finding a way to make this an important, as important part of our daily learning and instruction and support as any other academic area, and seeing that as a part of a larger whole, I think the other thing that we've really worked to do in embracing, you know, some of our families' needs and particularly access barriers has been looking to see what we can do to situate ourselves to be bringing more therapy options into school for students and families for whom, you know, access might be a barrier for travel time or even just navigating the system. That can be a very tricky thing, navigating the insurance system and trying to find partnerships at all of our levels, at the high school, the middle school, and the elementary level, that work collaboratively with area providers to be able to bring more of that into our buildings in a systemic way, I think has been another thing that we've been leaning into. And we're a few years in, we had a strand at our high school, and last year we were able to lean into that at the middle school level and grow on that this year to hopefully build towards that full kind of kindergarten through 12th grade option, knowing that that will also support some of our families and our students with skills to.
Give us a little bit more. I want our listeners to really get a little bit more of an in-depth. How do you implement something like that? What have you guys done to make that happen?
I think the first thing has been taking a real honest look at just where we're spending our time, you know, during the day, and balancing that with a real honest look of what our expectations are on our staff over the course of the day. And particularly in our learning climate work and our social emotional learning world, that often, you know, pick any research, you know, topic out there, pick any sort of boxed, you know, support that's out there, you know, any sort of, we go from PBIS and Second Step back to all the way to Tribes, you know, in the 90s, the idea of all of it is the same. And, you know, the idea of assume nothing, teach everything, and that we shouldn't be holding students or anyone to expectations we haven't made very clear to them and supported them with. A lot of it has been just giving permission to put that time in, as well as, again, having that honest look about, are we supporting teachers to do that? I think that's often an area of education that is really difficult to replicate in the pre-service teaching world. And so it's one thing we just expect students and teachers coming into the profession to just kind of do. You just know how to do it. And don't often take that couple steps back to go, how have we actually supported someone to do this? And we end up kind of negatively reinforcing that cycle of expecting our staff to be doing things with students that we haven't actually supported them to be able to do with students through conversations, through opportunities to collaborate together around where, you know, areas of strength or areas of growth might be, and just taking that time, because that's a part of every minute of every second of every day that as adults we're doing when we walk in the hall, expecting students to, you know, use zero or one level voices. And then who are we as adults? We're the ones yelling down the hallway or colleagues, and don't think about the mixed messages those send, and making those things known. You know, in the spirit of the idea of purpose versus control, are we teaching care, and are we teaching self-reflection? Are we teaching agency, or is this all about, you know, rules? And we need rules in school and life.
It's a balancing act.
You know, helping students be agents in making those, you know, in time decisions. Well, I could do this or I could do this. Which one is going to serve me better as a life skill that's going to help us in school, but just in life beyond that? And we have to give that time. And so I think the journey for us has been giving permission and support to be taking that time, knowing that that will pay dividends in every single thing we do in our
There is a crisis in this country, a massive shortage of special education teachers. We know how devastating this can be for your students, families, and staff. Lighthouse Therapy places experienced special education teachers in virtual, hybrid, and on-site roles, and we handle everything from hiring to onboarding to mentorship. These aren't just placements, they're professionals who understand compliance, collaboration, and care. Let us help you fill in the gaps with special education teachers who really understand. We are here to help. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to connect with us today.
So what kind of outcomes have you seen so far?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think the biggest one, and it's not a quantitative measure. We can certainly
Sometimes it isn't. Yeah.
And reductions in physical aggression, right? That's something we're seeing. Reduction in suspension, right? And all of those are very nuanced figures, because behavior represents need. It represents some sort of unmet skill. It represents, you know, some sort of unmet need. And so that can be deceiving. But I think from a more qualitative perspective, what we're seeing in our students, a willingness to speak up more. And providing the time and space and skill to be advocating for themselves. And the conversations that we're hearing more, that our teachers are speaking to, that they're having with students, which is where we get into more of that kind of restorative mindset of doing with, not to, are seeing in our climate data with our students, which is, you know, it's always a perfectly imperfect measure. Things that we're finding, students are expressing themselves more and expressing their needs more, which allows us to be more responsive. And in our area, the Dane County Youth Risk Assessment is something we look at the secondary level. And, you know, some of the things our students are speaking up, we're seeing differences in stressors for them. Things like, you know, access to vaping is a big deal. That's something we need to provide support in. Things like social media and AI and all of that, that students are navigating in time, our ability to respond to that, because we have students that are coming forth and speaking up more, which speaks to the relationships they're having with the adults, because that's a brave step sometimes to be vulnerable and do that. And our ability to respond, I would say we're still early on in that journey, but absolutely are seeing, due to these efforts, really exciting reductions in, I think, physical aggression being one of them, but also we are becoming a district that's becoming much less disproportionate when we look at some of our identified focus groups, our Black or African American students, our students with special needs, or some of our multilingual learners, you know, populations of students who are, our education system is underserved for many, many years. We're seeing big shifts in data, which, again, I think speaks to the sort of environment we're providing and the supports we're providing over serving those students.
Well, and you end up also, I think you're probably going to end up with less students that end up on an IEP, right? I mean, you're supporting them before they even get there.
That's the hope.
Really neat. Yeah.
Yep, IEPs and 504 plans, trying to provide those support pathways so that when we get to that place, because there are absolutely instances where that is the appropriate next step.
Absolutely.
That is very apparent. We're not wondering what might be going on. We're not wondering what supports have been provided. We've already done that, so that's the logical step. Completely agree.
Yeah, that's fantastic because, you know, a lot of people are talking about MTSS and response center, response RTI response center. We love our acronyms, don't we? Multi-tiered system of support and response to intervention, or MTSS and RTI, for those of you that are listening that don't know that. Most of the listeners probably do, but, you know, we just love our acronyms. So I always try to be sensitive to that. There's also states, you know, there's things that a particular state uses that another state doesn't. But just, you know, understanding that our kids have different needs than what they did maybe 10 years. So if you think, here you go. Here's a good question for you. So think back to when you were a fifth grade teacher and what you were doing. Now, granted, you were a new teacher, but that experience, you know, builds on itself. But the kids and how the kids were at that time. I've been a therapist for 31 years, and I'm telling you, the kids that I had 30 years ago are not the kids that are coming to me today, and, you know, and to our therapist today. And, you know, you learn really early on to recognize those triggers and those things that upset kids, or those or when a child just really is not. I don't care how well your therapy lessons is as an SLP, a child comes to you and they're not in that good place. You can tell immediately. And I love that, because that's that piece that you were talking about, is giving them permission to go, wait a minute, I need to deal with this, because they're not going to take anything that you say in, because they're not able to even focus on that because they've got so much. And there's times when you just go look at that child and go, okay, what's happening? You know, let's talk about what's happening. I can turn anything into a language lesson as an SLP, but, you know, that's the social emotional. But it's back to my question. I'm sorry, I got on my soapbox there. But what do you see as far as, like, I don't know how many years you've been in education, because I didn't ask you, but I know that you've been up and through and seen. So I'm just curious about what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, great question. I can answer. I'm entering year 20. So
oh, there you go. Okay. You've got the years. Yeah, I figured you did, but yeah.
You know, and there's probably not an educator alive. You know, I'm certainly one of them that doesn't want to go back and, you know, apologize almost in a way at all. You know, all those students that first year or two, but that's part of the journey. We have to have grace for ourselves. I think if there's been one evolution that I can point to that, you know, I wish that I could go back in time and embrace a little bit more, is that relational piece and the mindset and the idea that I probably did a little bit too much of this, of, you know, I'm in this position of power and control in a classroom, and not necessarily acknowledging that. And the idea that there are many students that come in and that's just been conditioned to them. There's this person in this authority position, and, you know, I need to listen to them and do what they say because they are in this position of authority, and not thinking more about what's making students want to do the things that we're talking about. And the conversations that we would often have to establish classroom norms and rules and expectations and all of that. And so much of that was a little bit of a farce. It was the illusion of this mutual conversation. We were doing this, but really I was leading the whole thing. And I think that mindset has changed. And, you know, for those that it hasn't, would encourage folks to adopt that mindset of really what's making someone want to do the things that I want them to do. And we can all point to people in our lives who, you know, we did because we didn't want to disappoint. It wasn't because we were afraid. That's the power in when you just point. Like, I will do this because it's you. And, you know, that sort of thing. And how are we fostering those connections? And I think another analogy I like to use a lot is the idea of we all have people in our lives, whether it's family or friends, who can say things to us that if somebody else said it, we would just walk away. Like, are you kidding me? And those heart truths, and that vulnerability and bravery to give somebody a hard truth when you have that relationship. Well, we may never, over the course of an 180-day school year, get to that place with an entire group of students, or even with one student. It's not a binary. We can move down that journey. There's a reason why when, you know, if ever, you know, someone loses a pet or loses a loved one or is going through something hard, our students pick up on that. Mm-hmm. And those are the days where even in the most challenging environments where students are just going to go, they're going to go, not today, because they they feel that energy from the adult. And how can we do that more often? And find a balance between showing our true selves, because we're all humans and, you know, parents, friends and children and all of that ourselves, and find that balance between, and not oversharing, but also being more human with our
being real.
Beyond them, you know, moving past that we all sleep at school and only hang out with each other.
Yeah.
All of that, you know, we have families and, you know, challenges too. And I think sometimes we shy away from that and miss the opportunities we have when we're asking students to be vulnerable with us, kind of mirroring some of that vulnerability and just building those relationships, because that's the bank account that we all build on when we need to make a withdrawal and do that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that when the relationship's not there. It's the foundation of, you know, restorative practices and restorative justice. It's really hard to repair a relationship that never existed in the first place.
Right. Yeah. And it's just a different world. I mean, it just how we approach things in a positive way. I mean, I really think that people that are working, doing this work and addressing social emotional, you know, we always talk about education loves their buzzwords, you know, but this one, social emotional learning is so key to our children's success and to this next generation. And there are so many people, you know, and you talk about social media and stuff that you see on social media and the generation that has not had this support and the outcome of that, you know, and the needs that adults are having now, you know, I consider myself to be pretty even keel and got myself together. My husband would laugh at me for saying that. But, you know, overall, I manage myself pretty good. I have pretty good executive function skills, you know, all of those things. But there are those out there, and I'm 57, so I'm not young. But, you know, younger adults that are just struggling with this and the fact that we now have a pretty good idea that these are things that need to be addressed before you can even talk about, yeah, we can graduate. You can go through school and get your degree and never deal with the emotional issues that you have as a young adult. And we end up with suicides and we end up with horrible relationships and divorce and all of the societal things that you see. So I love the fact, and I really am hoping at some point that there will be a recognition by our government and by society and that's why Brighter Together is here, because they need to hear this. They need to hear we are doing the work that needs to be done to help our children so that socially and emotionally and learning wise, they become better society, community people. What's the word? I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but and members of society, you know, and it's really great. It's really, really great that you guys are doing that. So
yeah, thank you. It's we like to think it's like a snowball, you know, building speed downhill. I, you know, being in Wisconsin here, again, I don't think I have an accent. Probably all of our listeners are like, oh, that's a pretty heavy Wisconsin accent. But the snow reference.
Not bad.
Thank you. Very naturally. But, you know, it's never a binary, you know, our social workers support and attendance, you know, in being in school more provides more opportunities for the support that a counselor might provide, which, you know, helps students feel seen, you know, more, which helps in the classroom when they're in a math lesson, which makes them feel more capable, which, you know, supports small group work a school psychologist might do, you know, take away some of the anxiety, stomach aches that come that our nurses are supporting. And all of that works together to now you have a student who feels seen or heard. They're more a part of their classroom. They're, you know, performing, you know, in an improved way academically, and then they're at school more. And now the connection with the family is improved because, wow, my child is happy at school, so these must be all right people. And now somebody might disclose a need they have, right, that then our team can provide and the student services teams in school, our staff in school can provide. And all of that supports each other together. There's never one entry point. There are so many different entry points. I think too often we're looking for that one right entry point. And not thinking about all of the many entry points that support each other in starting that snowball rolling downhill that leads to improved outcomes for everyone. And in the end, when students, you know, graduate and move on, whatever it's college, career, whatever that is, there's so much research around about the workforce, you know, now. And like you said, people and employers not finding that communication skills are as strong as they need to be, or the ability to deal with stressors and problem solving, and forget that goes all the way back to 4K, know, how supporting sharing, you know, in a PlayStation. But
very well said. You put it together in a way I was trying to get there, but boy, I'll tell you, you did a really great job. So thank you for summing that up, because that's exactly it. That is exactly it. So one last question, because wow, 23 minutes already in and it goes so fast. If you could, and this is a question I ask most people, if you listen to any of my podcasts, most of them at the end, I ask this question, so you may already know, but if you could miraculously, and you can't say money, solve one issue in your district, just it's gone. It's absolutely gone. I don't have to deal with that anymore in a positive way, right? You know, what would that be? What would that one thing be?
What a profound question. I think I would say continuing to find joy in our profession. I think that the work of education right now and educators sometimes can feel under attack. And certainly, you know, we have an amazing network of support within our local community. And so I know we have a little bit of a buffer from that, from maybe some other areas of our country. But I think the idea of meeting high support and high expectations, right? That's the balance we're trying to strike. And I think right now it's, being an educator is difficult. We have a lot of high expectations that we place on our educators and that they in turn place on their students. And the pressure we put on ourselves to support improved outcomes. And often those are on the academic side, because very often those are the gatekeepers to college. Those are the gatekeepers to opportunities and scholarships and the cyclical nature of, you know, of that and access to higher education. And too often, I think sometimes we do that at the expense of joy and forget how fun it is to be in this profession, is to be with students. And if we could find that balance and continue to give permission for our educators to find that balance, to do the things curricular-wise that we know we need to do to prepare our students for, you know, life after, you know, 4K through 12 system, and to do that not at the expense of joy.
Yeah, that's great.
The one we think need to get to.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. I'll tell you, I've been, like I said, 31 years, and I get to do what I love every single day. And I've said this on the program before, find what you love and do that, because I mean, man, it's not work when you love what you're doing. It's really not work. And the fact that your school in Verona is giving that back to your teachers and giving them permission to love what they do and to work with the kids and not feel like they've got a hammer hanging over their head. Don't step out of line. It's so good, because you know it already is. It affects the whole system, and that's fantastic. So, where do they find you, Adam? Where do they find Verona Public Area Schools and you? How do they find you?
Yeah, so the Verona Area School District. You can Google us. Director of Pupil Services, Adam Zingsheim. I'm probably the last person on every alphabetical list that exists. But geographically, we are minutes away from the state capital, Madison. We are just south on the southwest side of the Madison area here in Dane County, and come visit us. We'd love to love to have you. Love to show you our district. Love to talk about our work, and appreciate the opportunity to be joining you today.
Awesome. Well, Adam, it's been a pleasure. I knew it would be from the minute that you got on that we were going to have a great conversation. And thank you so much for being on Brighter Together, because we're brighter together.
Yes, thank you.